Somebody yell out to the people in the hall, we're starting to work again. Okay. Take your seats, delegates.
Tell them, P&B members.
No, we're PPP. Yeah. I mean, that's what we do in our station. We just adjourn, reconvene, do the delegates' business, adjourn. We've never had a separate session. Okay, we're going to start again. I'm asking the top... peripheral talking to end. We're going to have a 15-minute follow-up about the executive director's report. We're going to go into then the National Finance Committee report, which will be in executive session. We will then reconvene in public session for the report of the CFO. So that's just to give you all the heads up about what's coming now. So I'm going to ask now, Nicole, are you ready to respond? Okay. So we're going to have a follow-up, and I do see quite a few hands. Okay, we're going to, okay, everybody put your hands down for now. I'm going to give you the list as I have it. We're going to ask that you limit your remarks. We've got 15 minutes now. Perhaps the conversation will grow a little bit. Everybody wants an opportunity, or at least right now I have six people whose hands shut up. This is the order that I saw the hands in. And I can't read my writing, which is great. Doc, Margaret, Ambrose, Bob, George, Afia. So let's just begin with that. Doc.
First, I want to say thank you. I was just very uplifted by your presentation. I also know that we have a lot of work to do. And one of the concerns that I have is how we're going to get unstuck, because we are it's like a groove in the road that you can't get your tire out of. And I don't know how we're going to get out of that space. I do feel, however, that if we're going to get out of it, that you have the direction that's going to take us out of it. And so I'm hoping that we heard what you said this morning about being bogged down in the governance and forgetting that we're doing radio. We need to bring more young people into what we do. So the issues for me are they're like in our face, expanding our listener base, you know, bringing young people in. KPFT is situated in a way where we're in a university city. We have a university almost on every corner, yet young people are very scarce in our station. And I think that's one of the areas that we have to aggressively attack in terms of how to broaden our base and also bring in new talent, because the talent is here. We just aren't attached to it. How are we going to be able to just really make that turn? And I know that's a hard question, but
there's not one set answer. It's a very complex organization. It's going to involve a will at the governance level to understand the impact on the day-to-day operations, on the politicalization, for example, of just program choices. Why do people make certain program choices? You know, is it pressure from internal politics, or is it for the, really the betterment of the listeners and the general public? So I think we have to select certain guiding principles, like who we're really serving, and work from there. And if you have your guiding principle of who we really serve, things should fall into place. But it's very complex because, you know, when you talk about bringing young people in, well, again, you know, young people can teach us a lot of things, but I think there needs to be a generational handoff in Pacifica at all levels. But this involves the labor force. This involves, you know, unions as well. We can't, like, ignore that. We have four stations with collective bargaining agreements. And I'm a union person. You know, I have an after card. But you lead from the top. And the governance has put a huge load on these stations. That's not to absolve them from not doing their job. I think opening the doors up, being willing to collaborate with people, this was something I talked to Tony Riddle about because it turned out we knew some of the same people in media outside of Planet Pacifica. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the ethnic media because we both know Sandy Close and New America Media. And it was like, yeah, you know, all these small little publications, they're the ones, those journalists are the ones getting shot and killed. So why isn't there collaboration with even just the local ethnic media? In the newsrooms, in the news departments, in the public affairs departments. So it's so, you know, it's deep and systemic. But again, you lead from the top, and if there's a will, if there's a guiding principle that this is really where we're going to focus, I think things will fall into place. And we have to understand that we're not a social service agency. We can't heal every problem. Ours is not to tackle that. Ours is to report on the problems. Ours is to draw attention to those problems. But we can't fill everybody's needs. It's an impossible task.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Margaret.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. That was truly inspiring. And hopefully this board will be able to do what it has to do to enable you to be able to help to guide us in the direction that we need to go in, because I hear what you're saying about leading from the top, but I think a lot of people want to do the right thing and they're not quite sure what to do. And we've been kind of like without that kind of leadership for a while. So your leadership and your direction is very much appreciated, and I think will be needed, you know, not assuming that we're going to be able to sort it out, but to just have even an agreement on a few, like these are the priority areas that this board really needs to address and focus on in order to get us from point A to point B and the rebranding that you're talking about. One of those areas is the bylaws. We did move a resolution that was compromise language on the last PMB, taking us in the direction of fixing the issues with the bylaws, because so many problems come up on this board, even one from last night, that are related to fixing the bylaws. So we keep saying that, but then nothing is done about it. So something practically has to be done. I was glad to hear you say Domingo or some other people are beginning to look at those bylaws, you know, with a critical eye and perhaps can come up with some suggestions on it. The other thing I wanted to ask about, I had wanted to move at the last in-person meeting a resolution related to youth training, and it was postponed until this meeting. And actually, I held up on working on the language of that resolution, wanting to have your input on it, because you're absolutely right. We need to be trained by the youth. And it's very much a two-way street. The idea that some of us had in mind is how do we bring the youth in and give them access not only to the airwaves, but to our websites, to youth blogs, whatever, you know, so that they are participating in that rebranding. So it would really be good to get your input in something specifically that we could, you know, either pass ourselves. I know we're motion sickness, but I think that the stations, the local stations, would also appreciate getting that kind of support, you know, coming from the national board. So that was the other thing. And the last thing I wanted to mention very quickly is the thing about the staff, who is the staff, certainly at KPFK.
Excuse me one second. I want everybody's cell phone turned to vibrate, if not off, now. Thanks.
There are tensions between the paid and unpaid staff. The majority of staff in Pacifica, you know, programmers and otherwise, are unpaid staff. And certainly that has reared its head at K. Things are pretty tense right now. I think there's even an emergency meeting tomorrow of unpaid staff to address some of those issues. So I just wanted to, you know, to underscore that, because we're all staff in a way, as Bonnie, you know, was saying earlier, but we really need to sort that out. Also in terms of resources, and we're because the paid staff are, you know, are feeling not supported, and the unpaid staff are even more so unappreciated and not supported. And the last question I wanted to ask you, if you're going to participate in the finances discussion, because I really would be interested to know your views on how we address this immediate cash crisis that we're facing right now.
Well, those are a lot of questions, Margaret. you know, with regard to governance, that's too long for me to go into at this point. With youth, I think it starts with really looking around in your local area and identifying maybe four or five youth organizations that then you could approach and say, should we put together an advisory group that then we can begin to work with? I mean, I know one up in Berkeley. In fact, you were talking about the new president, Ruckus Society. I met her at Take Back America.
Okay.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
And they're in Berkeley. And Ruckus is, you know, it's great. And she's dynamite. And she was talking about, you know, they were in deficit when she came on. And then their first year when she was there, they made like $100,000. And now people are just throwing money at it.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a way to identify and then with very concrete kind of plans, you know, approach them and make it doable. I mean, too often there's all this magical thinking, oh, youth, if we have a youth thing, you know, then suddenly we'll morph. But I think we have to get reality-based and make everybody's expectations lowered a little bit, not promise them the world, not promise them everything, you know, celebrity right away. But it's like, keep expectations manageable before, because otherwise it's kind of like sometimes I hear, like I heard some people's stances on why they should be voted in for the, well, I guess it was KPFA because that's the station I can hear in my car. And I just happened to hear people like really talking about how they're going to bring all this democracy and this and that. And it was like, these are unreal expectations you're putting out to the audience. You know, get reality-based. Because if you overpromise, then you're going to disappoint. And that's part of the loss of credibility. You know, with regard to paid and unpaid staff, I'm really not going to go there right now, but I'm old-fashioned. You know, I approached radio and all media that it's a privilege and not a right to have the microphone. That's always been my guiding principle on it. If I want to grab a microphone, I can start a blog in 5 minutes. It's free through Google. If I'm smart about it, I can build it up into getting some good page views. If I'm smart about it, I can do blog ads and even make enough money to defray the cost of my server. So that's what I mean about the changed media landscape. We really have to be looking at, you know, well, what is this power of radio? It's broadcast, it's mass, and everybody has a radio, so it's ubiquitous. And you know, luckily we still have people in cars, because that's why radio is still somewhat vivant, is people are stuck bumper to bumper in drive time. Yeah, it's a privilege and not a right. And if you want to grab a privilege, you know, you can. You, there's microphones out there available. And with regard to finances, of course I'm going to hang around.
Okay, thank you. Next on the list is Bob. No, excuse me, Ambrose, sorry.
We should not have been surprised at anything we heard this morning. If we are doing our jobs as board members, we ought to clearly understand that it takes our vision, our integrity, our corporate leadership in conjunction with management to do what we have to do instead of playing games with each other, petty games. We waste so much time in playing petty political games. We waste so much time every meeting doing that instead of dealing with the issues facing this corporation. Some of us even denying corporatism. There's only one corporation that owns five entities. We're responsible for doing the best for those entities and putting it out there for the people of this country and the world. That's what we've got to do. And it's very simple. We just got to have the integrity and the vision to do just that. That's all I'm going to say.
Thank you,
Ambrose.
All right, Bob. After Bob is George. After George is Zofia.
Thanks, Nicole, for that really strong presentation. It was a lot of food for thought, especially your points about the changing nature of media and media convergence, which we absolutely have to be on the cutting edge of, and your call for more collaboration with other media, which we can go a lot further on. And I agree with you about the overbearing role of the governance structure. So those are important points. I think there was another context for the history, the recent history you laid out, which is important to add in here, which is the massive consolidation of corporate media and how that is rippling through everything else that happens and shutting out progressive and community viewpoints. And that is really a lot of what I didn't agree with you when you called it the so-called struggle to take back Pacifica. It was a real struggle, and it was a struggle against media consolidation, an effort to corporatize this network, and it was the product of, by the time it really took off in 1999 with your firing, about 7 or 8 years of systematic purging of progressive and community voices one by one at every station. At KPFK, 150 programmers were taken off the air, particularly people who were activist-oriented and particularly those serving communities of color. So it was a major, important struggle, and the victory that we all collectively won in 2002 was one of the most important victories for media access in U.S. history. So I just wanted to make that clear, that I think we have to have a really clear view of what came before us in order to pave the path forward for this institution and to make sure that we stay close to those community roots. And I think communities are real and definable. And while the term may be abused sometimes in Pacifica, there are numerous communities that we have a good track record of serving, can serve better, and I think we need to revitalize our community advisory boards and other methods of having ongoing dialogue and input from racial and ethnic and gender and other kinds of communities, of activist communities and others, to make sure that we're staying cutting edge on that level as well as staying cutting edge on the technology and, most importantly, about youth, which you're right, we have to turn over the control and the access to what we do. But I just think we have to keep that kind of political essence of who we are about front and center, and remember how we almost lost it. And the other piece we almost lost was, as you pointed out, KPFA and WBAI are on the commercial end of the spectrum. And for that reason, as you know, there was a serious effort to sell those two stations. And we stopped that. We collectively, all of the thousands of listeners and staff, stopped that from happening. And we have to be zealous in guarding that for the future.
Well, I didn't mean to denigrate anybody's efforts when I say the so-called struggle, but I also feel that now there's too much struggle within, and we need to get back to reporting about the struggle without, externally.
Bob, are you done? Yeah. Okay, thanks. Thank you. George, and then Afia, and I think I would like to end it at that because we are going to have a finance committee. We're going to go into executive session after that unless somebody's, you know, chomping at the bit. George.
Nicole, I noticed that you didn't...
Microphone, please use the mic.
I noticed that you didn't use the list the affiliates as a resource, and I'm wondering how you see the affiliates... and our connection with them and vice versa fitting into this changing media environment?
Well, I think the affiliates are doing a pretty good job themselves of making, from what I understand, regional networks. They're starting to grow their own regional networks. I hear it up in Northern California. They share news directors. They share news. They're getting into a lot of shareware. And some of that is driven by CPB. Some of that has been driven by their own internal needs. I think the affiliates are best for me, like as a broadcaster and coming from former affiliate stations. I really want to collaborate with them as like listening posts, you know, and getting much more collaboration with regard to content feeding in from areas where we don't have stations. One of the things I talked about at the affiliates meeting at NFCB was for those stations that might, like one of the lenses through which we will be covering election night and election day is disenfranchisement of voters. That's not going to happen, hopefully, but there's always pockets of that throughout the country, like in Ohio or Florida or whatever. If we've got it mapped out as to which ones have strong news departments, you know, et cetera, which ones could be our eyes and ears and partners in those areas, you know, we start to form these rapid response teams and really start to build up those relationships around content.
Thank you.
Okay, Afia.
I want also to thank you for your presentation. It was finally an opportunity to hear what your vision for Pacifica is and for the board to begin to articulate its vision for Pacifica and to develop that third entity which reflects the both perspectives. So thank you. As the representative for the affiliates, I too was alarmed, as were the affiliates, anxious at the NFCB caucus about the continuing existence of Pacifica affiliates and what the nature of that affiliacy will be, as you see it, and certainly ultimately, as the board will define it based on its response to your call for change in the bylaws, in light of the fact that the affiliates are based in the bylaws and are a structural part of this organization. I am also concerned about the your position that the public access to the public airways are a privilege as opposed to a right, the operative word being public, and that the struggle, the broader struggle, is to make sure that there is meaningful access, public access to the airways. Now, how Pacifica meets its mission in that regard, it seems to me, requires us to look at the question of privilege, right versus privilege, in a much more balanced way and a much more inclusive way than the NAB or, for that matter, NPR. I'm concerned also that I don't hear a recognition of the reality of the digital divide, and that which reflects the actual reality of the masses of the people, the majority of the people in this society. And cell phones and text messaging notwithstanding, I think we see the deleterious effects of reliance on that when we look at the composition of the anti-war movement and the globalization movements. So I'm quite anxious about that. And I hope that both you and the board will keep that in mind in whatever considerations is made. My last point with regard to governance is building on the point that Bob made, is that the governance that exists for Pacifica did not grow out of a vacuum. It emerged because it was needed, and it continues to be needed, especially when we have notions that the public airwaves, access to the public airwaves, are privileged.
Well, I just want to comment on that. Obviously, that's a hot button, but you already have the privilege in holding the licenses. So that already, you know, you have this right. It's been given to this board to hold these licenses in the name of the people. You are stewards of a public trust. I think when I was, I don't want to be misinterpreted that, you know, that it's a privilege throughout to have the microphone. I'm talking about within the culture of Pacifica, that too often people consider it their right to have that microphone. And I'm just trying to figure out, well, what's the basis for that? What's the clarity in saying, you know, you deserve that right, but not you? Or you deserve that right, but not you? So I'm just saying that within the culture, I think open wide, of course, I've been struggling against media consolidation since President Clinton unleashed it in the 1996 Telecommunications Act. And it was Clinton and Gore, and it was a bipartisan act, and it was passed without a whimper in Congress. So that's when really, 1996, I believe, that's when media consolidation happened. So at that level, that you're already stewards of a public trust. Because it's so politicized, though, through the governance, then that's when it gets really murky between right and privilege. I don't mean overall that, you know, it's a privilege and not a right to have the air. That's what this whole struggle, let's use another word, that's what the whole issue of consolidation is about. But that's also why there's an alternative press. It's also why, you know, the blogosphere just shot out the way it did. And it's why all these tools are free. They're free online. About the digital divide, I think we're turning the corner on that. We're turning the corner for several reasons. I've been working with tribal folks and rural people about the deployment of broadband in rural and tribal nations. And I've been working with them to help them with language for the FCC. Because if anybody's putting pressure on the FCC about deployment of broadband, it's the tribal nations and it's the rural people, because they are being left behind. And with regards to urban digital divide, again, the flatness of cost alone is getting much better. And when you have something like, this was an article I didn't bring, but in San Francisco County, in the city, there is a tremendous amount of fiber optics that feeds City Hall. Recently, they just rebuilt a housing area called the Valencia Gardens, which is super low-income housing. And they redid all the super low-income housing. And what they did was they tapped into the broadband of the city, the fiber optic, and they instantly put that broadband into every single unit of low-income housing in the Valencia Gardens in San Francisco. And it is a fatter broadband line than any of us signing up with Comcast or any other broadband supporter. So now every single super low-income unit has access to the fastest internet possible through this deployment. And it's done through the Internet Archive, which is a nonprofit located in the Presidio, We have a relationship with them with regard to our PRA and our archive, and it's going to be a model, I think, throughout lots of cities for use of what's already there for civic use, City Hall, that feeds all the City Hall, all the school districts, et cetera, and being able to piggyback on that directly into people's homes and housing. It's a beautiful model. It just got deployed 2 months ago, and it's certainly something that San Francisco can stand on the bully pulpit about and hopefully deploy through other areas. And when you look outside this country with regard to broadband deployment, I mean, it's pretty massive. We're actually the ones behind the curve. Many, many other countries, no matter the class, are having, whether it's just a kiosk with, like in India, what they have done, where they form these kiosks with computers, and anybody can just go in and use that for free. They're really far ahead of us with broadband deployment.
Okay, thank you so much, board members and Nicole.